What a joy and delight it is to be able to assemble with the saints of God on the first day of the week and to worship together as the people of God. And if you're visiting with us and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're so delighted you've taken time to be with us this morning. If you have any questions on what we practice or believe, we'd be glad to discuss them with you. And if you've never been baptized upon your faith in Christ and realize your need this morning, that it takes away your sins and puts you into Christ, everything has been made ready this morning where you can be baptized upon your faith. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, as Brother Lovell leads us in the song, if you'll make your way to the front, we'll be glad to assist you in any way we can spiritually. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of John and the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, Jesus is hanging upon the cross of Calvary. But I want to read one verse for the thought of our study, and that's down at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. You know, several years ago, back in 2015, I was blessed to be able to go to the Holy Land. And I really enjoyed being able to go and observe the Sea of Galilee and to look around at some of the cities that Jesus had performed miracles and did many mighty works. Then we went to the city of Jerusalem. And I recall standing on the Mount of Olives and overlooking that city and just stood in awe at the beauty of Jerusalem. But there was one place that was very special in my mind. And I recognize scholars differ upon exactly where it was Jesus was crucified. But we were at one place where they thought He was nailed to the tree. Whether that was the correct place, I do not know. But as I stood there, for just a moment, though I was surrounded by a multitude of people, my mind went back to Calvary. And for a moment, I had Calvary to myself. And for just a few moments of our time, I want us to have Calvary to ourselves. You don't need to go to Israel. You don't need to go to Jerusalem to have Calvary to yourself or to experience the power and reality of Calvary. When you look at the cross of Christ and you see Jesus on Golgotha's hill, you'll find it's touched multitudes of people all around the world. Regardless of race, regardless of background, regardless of culture, people have been touched by the redeeming message of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is look in John 19 and verse 25, and instead of looking at His mother, put our name there. Now there stood by the cross, and you put your name right there for just a moment, and let us have Calvary to ourselves. And let us examine Calvary. The first thing I want us to do is examine Calvary through the eyes of some that were there. And then we'll come down and look through our eyes. And just what do we see? When you look at Mary when you look at Mary, the mother of Jesus standing there, have you ever thought about Calvary through her eyes? No doubt there were memories that flooded her soul as she stood at the foot of the cross. No doubt she remembered back in the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter when Gabriel had come and said you would be the one to give birth to the Messiah. How this young girl would be the one who would be the mother of the Son of God. She would be the one to give birth, and through her, He would be the child of God. Now we need to remember one thing important here. Mary still needed Jesus as a Savior. Catholicism teaches that she has a special place. I'll tell you, she was an instrument God used to bring the Messiah into the world. But it was the Holy Spirit who conceived and brought forth the child. And we need to remember she was at the cross because she needed the cross. Because you, like you and I, she was a sinner. She needed salvation from her sin. And I want you to think about her standing at the foot of the cross, realizing she had given birth to Jesus, perhaps remembering His first steps, perhaps remembering Him when He first took up the hammer in the carpenter shop with His father. And perhaps she thought about the miracle that He performed in John 2 when He turned the water into wine. But one thing you can think about, when Mary stood there and she heard all these people jeering and taunting and belittling her son, and they're filled with hate, There's no doubt that if she looked up there, she would want to hide him from that. Any mother would want to hide their child from someone who's mistreating them, no matter the age of the child. I've watched trials and I've seen people who have done hideous and horrible things, and nobody is on their side of the courtroom except a mother sitting behind them. But here is Jesus, the Son of God, and she knew he was innocent of all the trumped-up charges. He had performed one miracle after another. He showed who he was. And here she knew that he was the child of God. But can you imagine the sorrow in her heart as she saw the spit and blood drip from his beard? And can you imagine how she felt as the blood pours forth from his brow into his eyes, the wounds he had from the scourging, the nails in his hands and feet, and there he is put to an open shame. And she can't do anything to stop it. There she stood at the foot of the cross. Now, I want to tell you something. If I could get that picture in your mind, I'd just offer the invitation right now. I wouldn't care how long we preached. If I could get people to see the cross through the eyes of Mary, I think we would have a different view of the cross of Jesus Christ. But I want you to go a step further. In your Bible, look, if you will, at Calvary through the eyes of John. Back in John 19 again, notice that Jesus begins to look down. It says, Jesus therefore saw his mother in verse 26, and that a disciple whom he loved standing by, that being John. And he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Jesus saw that his mother would need tending to. But can you imagine as John stood by the cross? No doubt his heart melted as well. No doubt he was tormented to look up at the one that he gave up all to follow. And he had hoped Jesus had come to restore the kingdom of Israel. He had misunderstood some things up to this point. All the disciples had. And now he stands at the foot of the cross watching the one he left all to follow to die on the cross. He loved Jesus and had come to believe he was the Christ. But how could this happen to the one that was prophesied of old? How could this one happen to the Messiah? And no doubt John is hurt and confused. And then he hears Jesus instructing him, "Take care of my mother. Take Mary away from this gruesome sight." It says at that hour. I think probably perhaps that means immediately. He's saying, "Get her away from here. Don't let her just stand here and see me in such a way." John took care of Mary. And he looked upon Jesus with flesh torn and veins exposed and blood dripping to the ground and puddling around the cross. And what happened when John looked at Calvary? What did he feel as he looked upon the Son of God dying upon the tree? Have you ever looked at Calvary through the eyes of John? But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke in the 23rd chapter, look, if you will, at verse 35. At verse 35, Jesus had already said in verse 34, the prayer to forgive them for they know not what they do, as they're dividing his garments and casting lots. And notice how the people respond to such a prayer. The people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." Look at the eyes of the rulers. When they looked at the cross, they saw something totally different than Mary and John. They sneered. They laughed. They enjoyed the gruesome sight. To see Jesus hanging on the cross to them meant victory. They had eliminated the one who had questioned their position, their overreach of authority, and they're watching with joy and glee as someone dies. They're saying, "Save yourself." Can you imagine watching someone die and stand there and rejoice and laugh at him and say, "If you are who you say you are, this is no problem for you." There is no empathy, sympathy, kindness in their heart. And as they watch with joy, as Jesus struggles to catch a breath and pull his body up on the nails that was driven through his hands and feet just to get just a little oxygen into his lungs. And then, after he can't keep the body pulled up anymore, to sag back down. And there the pain again from all the muscles that are knotting in his body. Dehydration, the cramps surging through him. And as he sags, the excruciating pain of the weight of the body, and they're laughing at him. Now, I've got some people who I don't think I've got your attention this morning. I've got some people I think your mind's somewhere else. I want you to think about your child, your mother, your loved one hanging on a cross and people laughing at them as they're in great pain. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having people mock you as you're dying? Oh, that's how Calvary looked through the eyes of the religious leaders. But look at verse 36. When you look in Luke 23, notice the soldiers have a similar reaction. They don't show any compassion. They've seen many crucifixions. This is just another day of work to them. And notice what they said. They mocked him. And they said, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the King of Jews, save yourself. Again, here are people who are used to the gruesome sight. And they give that parched tongue, not water, but sour wine. And here they are at another day of work, and they're going to have fun at another's expense. But have you ever noticed what happened when he died? Look again in Luke 23 carefully for just a moment. And when you look in Luke 23, drop down to save some time to verse 47. You remember the earth quaked after he had died and the temple, the veil in the temple had been torn in two. You remember that he breathed his last, and it says in verse 47, when the centurion, he's the leader, he's the one over that garrison of the soldiers. What happens to him? When he saw what had happened, he glorified God. Underscore glorified God. And notice he says, certainly this was a righteous man. Or as in Mark's account, Mark 15:39, he said, this is the Son of God. You ever thought about when Jesus died, it awoken the eyes of some? And they realized who he was. Now then, for just a moment of our time, when you look at the cross, what do you see? Some people say, I tell you, preacher, the reason I come to O'Neill, my grandparents came here, my parents came here, I've had family come here for years, and we just come to O'Neill because we're O'Neill people. That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you why you came to O'Neill. I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you see when you look at Calvary? That is one of the most important questions you'll ever answer because it will determine if you have real faith or if you're just living off the faith of your ancestors. And I want to say with all kindness and candor, not a one of us is going to heaven on the coattails of our granddaddy, our daddy, or anybody else. We have to come face to face with the question ourselves, what does Calvary mean to me? Do I look at Calvary and do I see a helpless martyr? Do I see a good man crucified, but one who didn't have the power to stop the cruel actions? Or do I see the Son of God dying to save me from my sins? What did Brother Tony read just a moment ago from Isaiah 53? The prophecy of the one who would come, who would bear our afflictions. He took on our transgression. He bore our iniquity. When you look at the cross, you see someone dying on a tree you deserve to die on because you've sinned. And I've sinned. We deserve physical death because we sin, but we also deserve eternal separation from God because we've transgressed a holy God's law. But instead of God just looking at you and saying, I'm going to cast you from my presence forever, He said, I love you so much, I'm going to allow my Son to endure what you deserve. Can you imagine that? The Creator of all the universe looked down at you and He said, you know what? I love you and I love you and I love you and you and my Son is going to take your place. You have transgressed my law. You have sinned against me. You deserve a cross. You deserve to be put up there naked and laughed at and mocked at. But my Son will take your place. And I'll tell you something, my friend. That's the sacrifice of Jesus. And I don't know if we preach that as much as we should. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2? I know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. Where I go, I preach Jesus. Not only that He died, but that He arose from the grave. Do you see Jesus? Do you see that He was the Son of God? Do you see that He could have called the angels? He Himself could have come down from that cross. But secondly, do you see the horrific sight of what He endured? The cross shows how much God hates sin. Every time we think that sin doesn't matter and we can just do what we want to do and God will look at it like Grandpa looks at it, we misunderstand that God is holy. Yes, God is love, but God is also holy and just. That's why His Son had to come. He just doesn't excuse sin. He doesn't ignore sin. He doesn't say like Grandpa, hey, we'll sneak a couple cookies. What Grandma doesn't know won't hurt her. God knows all things, Hebrews 12 says. All things are open and naked to His eye, Hebrews 4, 12, 13. But then you look at the cross, and not only do you see the God's hatred of iniquity, you see the greatest demonstration of love ever displayed. You ever thought about what Paul said in Romans 5:8? God demonstrated His love. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Do you see that this morning? Do you see Christ dying for you? And I want to know something. Does it mean anything to you? Or has the story come so old to us, we hear it and we think, yeah, He died for us. That's great, but He really died for everyone. I'll tell you something, my friend. If you were the only one on the face of the earth, He still would have come and died for you. That's how much He loves you. And sometimes I'm fearful we've allowed that to grow old in our heart. And what we need to do is step back and have Calvary to ourselves. When we partake of the Lord's Supper here in a few moments, I pray that our minds go back to that cross. I pray our mind is focused on Jesus dying for us. And during the week, I hope we take some quiet time to reflect upon the cost of salvation. It's important we take a few moments to have Calvary to ourselves. To see the cross for what it is, our means of salvation. And if I see the cross for what it is, I'm not going to quibble about baptism. I'm not going to quibble about obedience. I'll just say, Lord, You speak and I'll obey. But you know what's happened so many times? We're so good at excusing our actions and being so self-centered, we don't see the cross like we should. Someone else may need a cross. I don't. I think we all need. As I was standing there in the Holy Land of Jerusalem, on that outside the city walls, looking at this place where they believe He was crucified, there was a man who came around with his camera to take pictures of the place, and there had already been a long line of people there. And they got into an argument standing in the front of the place, they thought, Jesus, about who should have been there first, and they begin to argue and fuss, and even begin a little bit of almost look like about to push. Telling this man, you cut in line, and they're fussing. I thought, here is the place the most selfless act ever occurred, and here are selfish people fighting about their place in line. And I thought, are we any different? How selfish can we be to look at the cross and tell God, I look at it like those soldiers. I spit at it. Because I'm not going to follow Your rules and I'm not going to follow the Word and I'm going to do my thing and I just spit at You, God. My friend, You have that right. But You'll answer for it. Everyone who defies God needs to remember what's said in Philippians 2. You may never confess Him. You never may bow to Him on this earth. But one day you will confess Him and you will bow, because it says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And the question we have to ask is, will I do what God told me to do, or will I do what culture's told me to do? Do I want to be accepted by God, or do I want to be accepted by man? That's your choice. Am I going to be selfless or am I going to be selfish? Am I going to be humble and put down my pride and obey God because of all God has done for me? Or am I going to be somebody that says, I do what I want to do. Nobody has the right to tell me. I'll tell you. God allows people to make their own decision. But I think if you took Calvary and you had it to yourself for just a few minutes and you really, truly thought about God's love for you and what He did to save you from your sin, you would strip yourself of pride. You would strip yourself of anything that would keep you from coming to the Son of God. I'll never forget one time when I was preaching in Nashville, Tennessee. A precious couple that we knew gave birth to a baby and the baby had died. The baby had died during birth. And I came back and I sat with the family. And I'll never forget looking at the mother, and I did not know what to say, but I prayed with her. And at the funeral, I made the statement, "Won't it be wonderful in heaven that you can say, I can hold you in heaven, this innocent baby?" And then I thought about all God's saints. Won't it be wonderful to be able to hold, just for a moment, in our eyes, the glory of the Lamb of God who died for us, and to know that we'll be there forever? And how does the song go? After 10,000 years, what? Just like time, it's just starting. And all this that has hurt us and all that we face is no longer there. And we will behold Him as He is, and we shall be like Him, as John said. And it's because when we looked at Calvary, we said, I'll accept God's Word. And I'll be able to hold Him forever. If you need to obey the gospel, I pray you come as together we stand and sing.